Hello and welcome to a new episode of Computationally Yours, where the conversations begin at computational biology. I'm Dr. Sabha Kadri.
And I am Arshi Arora.
This is Computationally Yours, and we are your hosts.
I am so excited to record our 10th episode. You know, when you love science and you do that every day as a part of your work, you get so fully immersed in your field that it becomes a part of your identity. We are so excited to share with you every week the snapshots from genomics to biostatistics, computational biology, and pretty much everything else under the sun.
Yeah, so in this episode, which marks our 10th episode, I know that, you know, for people who listen to podcasts all the time, podcasts have hundreds of episodes. But for us, this is our first double-digit one, so we were very excited about it. And we thought that instead of talking about a particular scientific topic, we would give our listeners a more in-depth, up-close and personal snapshot about the hosts themselves, you know, talk about ourselves, talk about our journey, talk about how we feel about this podcast, you know, how's it going?
Yeah, so let's talk about Computationally Yours. We've come so far from our first episode, Sabha, right? Here, I want to take a chance to say thanks to our audience and friends who have given us so much love and support. We would also like to share some aspects of the podcast that we're really proud of and which you will continue to see in the future as well.
Yes, Arshi, and I do remember how nervous we were on that first day. I mean, it took us a really long time to record that first episode. The first one released on April 28th.
Yep.
And I remember that after we posted the episode, I was so nervous. I kept refreshing the page and seeing how many people were listening to it every few minutes. And now we are on every platform and I don't refresh the page as often as I did before. It's a really good feeling.
I agree. I think when we were preparing for this episode, we were creating ideas about it. I was also really nervous, but I was really nervous about the part where, especially these days pertaining to science, there's a chances where information can get misquoted or incorrect. So I was really conscious of putting something out there that was strong and factual. Strong and factual, A, of the truth, but which also showed the efforts of the scientists and researchers who have put in so much work. So when we are putting material together for our episodes, we make sure it's accurate. And if you've gotten the chance to check our website yet, we try to include an exhaustive list of references following each episode so as to separate opinions from facts.
That's well said, Arshi, because that's a very important point about any kind of scientific podcast. I just want to take a second and I do want to talk a little bit about, you know, the mission of our podcast one more time. This podcast stemmed from the strong belief that Arshi and I share about really making science accessible, about really making science easy to understand. We still have a lot of technical topics and there might be some audiences that might find them a little hard to understand here and there, but we try our best to give analogies, to kind of bring experts in the field for a particular topic because we're not experts on everything. So we try to bring in experts as well who can really break down the basics of really complex topics as well. And lastly, I guess when we started this in our first episode, we were talking a lot about computational biology, but we've really evolved to include all the different areas that would be incomplete without a computational component, which is kind of the nature of computational biology. So for example, we've talked a little bit about genomics and genetics, which of course is a very big part of computational biology, but we have so many great topics that we've already planned for, which might not be very obviously computational biology. They might be precision medicine or diagnostic testing. They wouldn't work without computational biology.
Each scientist is unique. And it's fascinating to see how our collective efforts can cover such a wide array of scientific issues. In our past episodes, we've covered concepts of contact tracing by Dr. Nicholas Sulaikis, to clinical trials 101, to the various milestone projects in the history of genomics, like the Human Genome Project, the HapMap Project, genome-wide association studies, and also a little bit, we touched briefly on the ENCODE Project. So that's that. And we will continue to bring to you all these different aspects of science which are shaping our lives. So keep listening to Computationally Yours.
And here's where I want to actually mention one of our listeners. Arshi, do you remember after our first episode, we got a few emails from listeners. One of them was from Sihan Kaya, who very rightly pointed out that when we were discussing origins of computational biology, our definition for computational biology was very sequencing based. Like, when did the first computers get accessible to academia and people started sequencing and there was big data and so on? What he pointed out was that if you include quantitative modeling as well as one of the important parts of computational biology, the word computation itself becomes older than computers. So even, for example, Mendelian genetics, which we're going to talk about in one of the future episodes, that also becomes part of computational biology. So thank you so much, Sihan, for pointing that out to us. We completely agree. So our first episode's origins is very focused on the sequencing aspect of things.
Thanks so much, Sihan, for reaching out to us. And I would also like to encourage the rest of our listeners to reach out to us. We so want to hear from you. So actually, a little bit about ourselves now. Sabha and I started as batchmates to colleagues, and now we're friends for over a decade now. She dabbles in science and art alike, let it be dancing or creating beautiful and different types of painting. And wait, I think I've missed something. Poetry.
Poetry is actually you, Arshi. Well, Arshi's missing out that she herself is quite an artist, from painting, dancing, as well as pottery, which is her special skill, not mine. Arshi, I don't know if you remember, but I think our bonding in grad school didn't start from science. We bonded over dancing. We even started a Bhangra club together.
Oh yeah, I was a little embarrassed about it, but just like this podcast, and now we're doing computationally yours together, I think you bring out that aspect of me, which is like, no, let's just do this, just dance on this opportunity. So starting from the Bhangra Club together, and now this podcast, I think we're a great team now.
I agree. Whenever I come up with any crazy ideas, Arshi's the first person I call, always.
And I'm thankful for that. So I already know a lot of things about you, but why don't you tell our listeners, specifically those starting their careers right now, about how these non-academic activities have helped you, or if you want to say something on those lines.
That's a good one, Arshi. You know, I was a very shy kid, and most people who know me or now are listening to me would think that I'm a natural extrovert. But the thing that really got me out of my shell, being a very reserved kid, was actually theater and performance arts. In fact, as we just discussed, art is still a big part of my life. We've already talked about dancing as well. But another life-changing experience that I had was doing improv. That really helped me get out of my head. For those who might know Second City, I graduated Second City, and it really taught me to be in the moment, because as a scientist, we are trained to evaluate and think and then overthink. But improv really taught me to be in that moment. So I completely encourage people to do these non-academic things, follow your passions, pick up a hobby. You never know how it helps you.
I agree, Sabha. I think if I would like to add something to that, if you're talking about extracurricular activities, mm-hmm. I've been doing statistics and biostatistics for over 8 years now. So even I was getting extremely left-brained in my day-to-day life. But I really wanted to challenge the other part of my personality and my brain. So that's why I started doing pottery. And in pottery, you have to like really concentrate, and you have to really coordinate your hands and make sure that the clay listens to you. And it's not about strength there at all. So I was really challenging the right side of my brain, and it actually really taught me how to be more thoughtful in all your approaches that come, let it be data analyses or your day-to-day life, just what more being more thoughtful can bring to your life.
That's a good one, Arshi. You kind of brought the poetry of that whole thing together.
Thank you.
I have another question for you.
Yeah.
Do you remember your very first research project? You want to share a little bit about it? Anything you learned from it? Anything you wish you knew at that time?
I don't know how far back my memory can really go. So I was interning in India, and I was initially really interested in approaches that could help the environment. So one of my few first research projects were, are there any plants that could actually clean the water instead of spending so much money on expensive purification processes? Can we clean water, reuse it by just putting plants? And it can be used for some or the other domestic uses, not entirely for drinking. So I would like to add here is that my initial background was, I have a formal training in biotechnology and computational biology. So you see the word biology is like really overlapped here. And I've always liked the sciences which complement biology really well. So that's been really my passion and I'm really fascinated about it.
That sounds like a really interesting project, Arshi. I think I'm going to hit you offline for more details. But talking about projects that go way back, I mean, my background is I did my undergrad in computer engineering and I started my master's, then went in to do my PhD in computational biology. So I still remember that I was in my first year undergrad and we were doing these tech fests in our college and I did a paper on DNA computing. I'm not going to go into the details of that at all, but maybe I'll put a link in the description. And it blew my mind. I couldn't imagine biology and computer science going together. And that's the day I decided that this is it. This is what my career is going to be in.
Wow.
I feel like I'm one of the lucky few who really knew what they wanted to do right off the bat. Some people, it takes a little bit of time to figure out what they want to do in their careers, but I definitely feel really lucky about this. And one more thing I feel really lucky about actually is the amount of support that I've had. Last episode about Barbara McClintock, we talked about a strong support system in our lives. I feel like my family has been extremely supportive of all my life choices always. When I came to the US to do my master's, and I had just been here 2 or 3 months, and I just decided I wanted to do my PhD as well immediately rather than wait for some time. As you can see, there's a pattern here. I'm quite impulsive about my decisions, but I had thought it through. I really wanted to do it. And I called my mom and I told her that I wanted to do my PhD. Now, it's a big commitment to commit 5 years of your life to something. But my mom never questioned it. She only asked me one question, which was, are you sure? And I said, yes. And she said, okay. So, you know, to be a scientist, especially a woman scientist, we do need strong support systems in our life as well. And I do feel very lucky about that. And you too, Arshi. I know your story as well. But, you know, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit?
Yeah, gladly. So like Sabha said, my family also always supported me and they actually put education at a really strong front. And they always encouraged me to push myself to get the best education that I can. So Sabha and I went to the same university together. So as I said, I transitioned from a role of a more computational biology now to a more of a biostatistician. And when I started working, I realized that there were some gaps in my knowledge around that time. So I took my second master's and I actually did a whole new second master's degree in biostatistics. Again, when I was doing this, my parents fully supported me. And coming from an immigration background, I think my mentors here were really, really kind about that. And my employer and my mentors, they all supported me with that decision.
Yeah, Arshi, I have to tell you that it takes a lot of guts to do a second master's. You know, I know those 2 years, was it 2 years?
No, I think since I was doing it part-time, it took about like three and a half years to finish that. I had no social life back then.
I remember that those 3 years, we barely saw each other. All the sacrifices we make in the name of science.
Yeah. So now I think one thing I've been really wanting to ask you, Sabha, is that so far in your journey, were there any major obstacles that you faced? And I think we would all like to learn from how you went around it.
I guess we keep saying this, right? Every scientist has their journey. So of course, we all have our ups and downs. I think the hardest thing there'll be two things. One of them is a more scientific thing, which is that when you're doing your PhD, you know, when your experiments, you have everything set up and your proposal is up and your experiment just won't work or you won't give you the result that you are expecting. That can be very demoralizing sometimes, but it's really important to have a good mentor, have a good PI who can really make you either realize whether you want to keep going or sometimes the best thing is just to say no. that's it. You know, this is a dead end. Let's move on. So I think that is a very important thing I learned from the setback scientifically. And the second one, I think you mentioned it, which is that being an immigrant, it's not an easy thing. You know, you know, you're completely leaving your life and everything comfortable around you and moving to a new country. And it can be really hard. This is when we meet some of our closest friends when we are there for each other. So I moved to this country about 14 years ago. And I remember towards the end of my PhD, there were some visa issues by which I could not go back to India to see my family for 3.5 years. And there were a lot of things I missed. There were a lot of weddings. There were some funerals that I really wanted to be there for. And that was a really hard thing. And I feel like every immigrant feels that way. And we all have something like that.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we all have so many of these visa stories. But moving on from all our obstacles now, let's talk about cool stuff. So, Saba, is there anything cool you're working on right now?
Yeah, I feel like everything I work on, I think it's the best thing ever.
I feel you.
The one thing that I'm really excited about is helping bring on whole genome sequencing. I've mentioned that we do genetic testing, and we'll talk more about that in future episodes for sure. But bringing on a huge platform like whole genome sequencing and the analytics that go with it, with the file sizes that we have and just the sheer volume of that data, and to make sense of it, to really apply it to patient care, I'm so excited about that. But what about you, Arshi? Is there something cool you want to share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like really difficult to pick because I find all science problems, even what you are doing, actually really cool. So something that I'm working currently on is the integration of various sequencing platforms. As Saba said, one aspect of that she mentioned is genetic testing and whole genome sequencing. What I am trying to do is that I'm trying to integrate these various biological channels, and I'm trying to integrate them and understand more about a disease type. And apart from that, what I'm trying to integrate as well is their clinical information. When we have all these retrospective studies, we also have that molecular data, as well as we have data on their, let's say, survival data or whether they responded to a treatment or not. So I'm trying to integrate that as well with these different biological channels and see if something interesting comes out of it.
That sounds so interesting, Arshi. I would love for us to get you on one of our episodes to talk more about this and, you know, just multi-omics approaches and things. They are so interesting.
Yeah, I would love to.
And I guess that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you so much, listeners, for going on this journey with us. We are really excited for what we are bringing you through Computationally Yours. Please do send us your feedback. Our email address is computationallyyours@gmail.com.
And follow us on social media, and please let us know what you think.
Until next time, this is Computationally Yours.